Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week I bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of the paranormal and UFOs. And believe me, there is a lot to talk about. It's a very wide universe, and there's all sorts of different subjects, and we're going to be tackling a really unique and interesting subject tonight. I hope you all enjoyed it. Last week's show, when I had on, her name was Alexandra Holzer, and she's actually the daughter of the famous ghost hunter, Hans Holzer. And so it was a very interesting show. We had a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed speaking with her. It was just really interesting. But tonight, we're moving away from ghosts, which is what we talked about last week, to a new subject, which I have never actually explored on this show yet. So I'm really, really excited. Our guest is Stan Hughes. He's actually was on the show last year to talk about his experiences with UFOs. He is a Native American and has done actually a lot of research into the subject tonight, which is animal totems, the mystery and the power of animal totems. This is a very, very interesting subject. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the idea of animal totems, but in Native American culture, animal totems are a very, very important aspect, and apparently each person born on Earth is also born with a sacred animal totem, at least one, and tonight that's what we're going to talk about. So if you've ever had a mysterious or very special connection with a certain type of animal, this could be an indicator that that is your animal totem. So we're going to be talking about all the mysteries and the powers of animal totems and how maybe you can identify your own animal totem. And here's actually a quote from our guest tonight who has written about this as well. He's done some very, very interesting research into this. He says, and I'm quoting, "Traditional Native Americans believe without equivocation that everyone has a spirit animal walking through life with him or her. A person may not be aware of this, nor even care, but this does not alter the facts as they see them." So there you go. We do have a connection with animals, and I think our connection to them is very largely mysterious to a lot of people. And tonight I'm hoping we can get some really interesting insights into this really unique subject from someone who really knows what he's talking about. So, Stan, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Preston, it's always great to talk with you and your listeners. I offer the traditional Lakota Sioux greeting of Hokoda, which I think would be transferred into "What's up?" if we were in the vernacular. And before we get going, I just want to congratulate you on 2.1 million hits on your website. I wonder sometimes, you're so kind and unassuming, you have so much influence around the world and on the internet, and I think that's very impressive. 2.1 million hits and more. So good for you, Preston. Good for you.
Can you believe that? Yeah, I'm going to have to get that website updated one of these days. so darn busy, because there's a lot of books that I need on there.
Your introduction, it's right where I hope to step from. I thought I'd give a quick little outline of what I hope to accomplish tonight, and of course talk again what is a totem or a spirit animal. And then if it's okay, I'd like to share a very unusual experience that happened to me when I found my totem, or actually how it found me. And then I'd like to talk with your listeners about how they can find their totem and some of the research and work that I've done in that area. And I'm going to try something a little bit different this time. I'm going to have everybody do a little written exercise to help them track down what the totem might be. So if your listeners might want to find something to write with and something to write on, and we'll get into that later on. And then after we get through that particular part of the program, talk a little bit about how they are, our spirit animals are trying to contact us. And then one of the hardest parts is what is our responsibilities in this, And then if we have some time toward the end, talk a little bit about sacred animals and some confusion about how Native people look at the different animals depending on their culture, their tribes, their bands, and so on. So if that's okay, that's kind of what I'd like to do tonight.
That sounds perfect, yeah. I'm not sure how many people out there are. I mean, I'm sure people have heard of animal totems, but I'm not sure that they're aware of how important it is to, you know, Native American culture, and for that matter, every human. what exactly is an animal totem?
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. And your introduction was right on. We're talking about the traditional Native Americans, and that they believe that everyone has an animal spirit walking through life with them. Now, what is interesting is a person may not be aware of this, or even care, actually, but this does not alter the facts as the traditional Native people see them. And they believe that each totem is trying to touch its human. And this is so important. And they are trying to offer each of us unconditionally a sense of peace and the realization, so it's kind of emotional for me, that he or she is never alone. And they use many animals and many avenues in their efforts to embrace their people. And they can communicate to actual animals, and this is manifested by a penchant or favoritism felt by the person that the totem is trying to communicate to. And if you seem to relate in a positive way to dogs, your totem may be a wolf or a coyote or any of the canine group. If dogs seem to take to you in a comfortable and natural way, this reinforces the idea. The point is that the actual animal can be a pipeline between the spirit animal and us. Cats are interesting. They don't warm up to just anybody and seem to be able to know if a person is approachable or should be avoided. If you like cats and find them rubbing against your leg or climbing into your lap, without invitation, placing their head by your hands or face or licking your face with their little rough tongues, it may be a totem from the cat family working through them to touch you. If you're one of the people trying to extend your spirituality who live on islands or along the seacoast or the banks or rivers or lakes, you may have some kind of a fish or a whale or a dolphin waiting to be your totem. And this inclination is manifested by maybe you have an aquarium in your home, or you enjoy wearing jewelry or accessories with fish themes. Some even have fish type of tattoos, but cannot really explain why they select that topic, except that they like it. And those who can be more easily identified with the swimmers of the earth and enjoy swimming and diving and other water-related sports are more inclined to be receptive to the secret calls of our finned relatives. You may find yourself sketching or painting bird pictures or hanging bird theme artwork on your walls if you enjoy seeing them as they flit about their daily work, or if you're always making or buying bird houses and keeping the bird feeders and bird baths in your backyard filled. I'm always doing that. Maybe your bird totem is singing to you. So there's something going on. And
these are all different ways for people to identify their own animal totem by identifying their interests and their attraction to various animals?
Exactly. Because I believe that even though you don't know what your totem or sacred animal is, they know who you are. And just like you said before, they've been with you since birth. And they are constantly trying to touch you and reach you in any way possible. And all they need is for you to be receptive to that. So I think it's a terrific opportunity for all of us. And I really like the thought about that we're never alone if we have our totem with us, because there are lonely people out there, and hopefully we can find something to help them out today.
Right. Well, I think animals
provide friendship. Boy, that's a long breath of words there.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's really, really interesting, and I think that people don't realize how important animals are. I mean, a lot of people rely on animals for friendship. I mean, they have unconditional love. A lot of, you know, especially dogs.
That is totally, totally true. And you see that all the time. And, you know, man's best friend. You know, all that is true. And I think there has been, from the very beginning of time, some kind of a symbiotic relationship between dogs and men and horses and men. And I've seen that over and over again. There's just some kind of communication going there. And that doesn't negate other animals, too, but for some reason, we all seem to be brothers, in my opinion, in that particular area.
Right. Well, it's interesting what you're saying because, you know, suddenly a lady at work comes to mind. She loves everything about owls. I mean, she has owl statues, owl pictures, owl everything. She even looks a little bit like an owl.
Oh, saying out loud.
So that's clearly, I mean, her animal totem, I would guess.
Well, we've got some indicators for owl totems, and at some point, I don't remember if I sent you that that information, the worksheets on that, but it would be interesting to see her go through the indicators and see if that verifies indeed that the owl is part of her sacred life.
So, right. Yeah. You did send me the worksheet, which I actually did filled out. It's really, really interesting, and I was able to identify
what you found.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, I've had actually a lot of unusual experiences with animals, and I was wondering, is it possible to have more than one animal totem?
I have at least two that I'm aware of, and I don't think there's any restriction on that particular area. And I've been working with, if you will, some beta groups on this particular project, and a number of folks, if that's a couple of them already knew what their totem was, or totems, and when they did the project with me, that's what came out. And so that helped verify that what we're up to seems to have some justification. And,
can your animal totem come to you in a dream? Would that be something that's fairly common?
And I'd like to talk about how they're trying to contact us in a little while, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because one dream that I did have, which I always think of, and was a very, very spiritual dream, and repeated itself in variations a couple of times, but you know, very rarely, only like a few times in my whole life. But I vividly remember the first time it happened, and this was actually before I got into all of this stuff, into, you know, the paranormal or spirituality and UFOs and all of this stuff. I was just getting into it, and I was writing my dreams down, and I had this dream where I saw buffalo in a field next
buffalo.
To me. Buffalo, yeah. And, you know, I've always had a really strong attraction towards Native Americans. I've read, you know, everything I can get my hand on shamanism and all this stuff. So I have been attracted to the subject of just Native Americans. But in this dream, one of the buffalo was not a normal-looking buffalo. He was, I would say, almost twice as large as a normal buffalo, and he was white. He was a white buffalo.
Oh, be
and he came charging towards me. And I became, of course, alarmed because this was a very vivid dream.
Yeah, it would be.
And I thought he was going to run me over, but he ran right up to me and pressed his head up against me. And I tried to hold him back with my hands, but he pretty much pressed right up against to either my head or my chest. I can't really quite remember. I'd have to look at my notes.
That is absolutely amazing.
And I've had that dream a couple of times, and I always just think to myself, wow, you know. And then I found out later the white buffalo is a powerful symbol in Native American culture.
You're absolutely right.
So that's one of my experiences.
Great story. I'm really glad you shared that. That helps solidify what we'll be talking about here. Well, I don't know. I would like to kind of share how my totem found me, or one of my totems, if that's okay.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay. If the listeners maybe kind of sit back and relax and just kind of get into a mental state and come along with me, because we're going to have to go back a while. Because my totem journey actually started over 50 years ago. And so I was just this scrawny young kid in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And I started doing qualitative research on the topic in 1989 and collected many sorts of indications of what people are saying to me. But what was interesting is that it was a phone call from my literary agent, Barbara Bauer, that gave me the motivation to take my experiences and research and to get it into some kind of organized form. You know, I've been collecting stuff all these years and thinking about the experience that I've had. And she's trying to market a couple books for me, and she called me one day. She's over in New Jersey, on the East Coast of the United States, and said, "Stan, I'm looking at your resume, and you've got a lot of experiences in the Native American area, and especially in the spirituality area. Why don't you write a book on the topic?" I don't know. I hadn't thought about that until that time. So, bless her heart, she got me getting organized. Okay, so I'm going to take us all back. We're going to go way back in the 1950s, and we're going to go into Black Hills, South Dakota, and it's December. And I'll tell you, that is the most miserable time of the year out in that area there. The winters, it's just bone-chilling cold, and there's a lingering sense of melancholy, and it has to do with the heavy snow and the long, bitter nights. Well, I was, my mother married into a family, and so now I was a stepson and a step-cousin and so on. And hunting season, they called it, is that time of year. And all the family alpha males and the younger boys, the brothers and cousins, would take off to what was called deer camp. And us younger guys just hated that, because the only reason we were there was basically to shovel the pathways, do the dishes, keep the fire going, cut the wood, you know, and stand and wait for the next orders from the older people. And the worst of all of this whole experience, we were what was called the drivers. So here we are. We're out in the snow up to our hind ends. It's absolutely cold and miserable. We're just bundled up as much as possible. So the dads and the older cousins drop us off in the snow, and then they take off in a jeep. Sometimes the temperature is barely above zero. And they tell us to start walking in a particular direction. And then they drive off in this jeep through the snow for a couple miles, and then sit down in a thicket or some fallen trees, pass around some alcohol to keep warm, and they just sit there and wait. And they're waiting for the deer that are running away from us to stumble upon them, and then bang, 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 you know. And strangely, over all those years, not one of us younger boys were ever shot. So I guess it could work. So here am I now, probably 6 foot tall at the most, maybe 130 pounds, you know. It's just so miserable, and I'm miserable. I'm probably 14 or 13 years old. And I'm working my way through this heavy snow in this general direction we were told. And I heard behind me, it was kind of a muffled, crunching sound, as if large animals were kind of laboring through that deep snow. It was absolutely silent around me except for that sound. And then as the wind blew, and the hunters were always upwind, you know, so the animals wouldn't smell them, and the wind was blowing from behind us, this rich, musky aroma of deer kind of flowed over me. And if you have ever experienced that aroma, you will never forget it, because there's nothing like it.
Taller and mine too.
So I'm working my way into this little clearing, and I looked back, and there were a bunch of white-tailed doe coming in my direction, laboring through the snow. And they would kind of jump and hesitate and then spring forward, and they were coming from a rocky ridge behind me. Now, over there, it was called buck season, and you couldn't shoot a doe except for if you had a special tag for that. And so my stepfather said, if you see a doe, you be still and patient, because generally the buck, the big male deer, will come behind. See, they're not too stupid. They let the doe break the trail in the snow, and then they just kind of hop along, and they're doing fine. Well, I had my rifle in the crook of my arm, and I was looking past the females to see if a big buck would come down. I thought that would be so cool if the dads and the older cousins and the uncles were sitting off someplace waiting to get a deer, and I got one myself. Well, I would guess there were about a dozen of them, and they kept coming toward me and coming toward me. And I began to worry if they knew I was even standing there, and it was kind of fearful. Because I'd heard stories about people being stomped by the sharp, rock-hard hooves of deer,
Right.
Here I'm just a scrawny little kid, you know. And I can still remember that my mouth got so dry and I was almost paralyzed. You know, what chance did I have if they decided to take me on? And then they were all around me, on both sides, behind them. And without any sign or anything, they all stopped. And if you've ever seen a deer, their eyes are the most beautiful black brown jewels you've ever seen. And that musky deer aroma was just thick all around me.
Stan?
A heady, heady feeling.
Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Sure.
I want to continue with your story, but we actually have a caller, and I don't want to make him wait too much longer.
Continue shortly.
Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Preston. This is Dr. Barbara Bauer calling from the East Coast.
For crying out loud, it's Barbara. That's my literary agent. Listen, you heard Barbara. Great to hear from you.
My ears were ringing, so I called. So I thought I heard somebody talking about me over there on the
in a very positive way.
Actually, I've been listening on the show, Preston, and I enjoy it very much. I've enjoyed hearing it.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. So did you have
it's a great show, and we're very, very proud of Stan and his work, and just keep up the good work. We are enjoying listening to the show here in New Jersey.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. We'd love to hear from listeners.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
You could tell I adore that lady. She's the greatest gal, and she's really helped me over these few years. Of course, we're contracted together as I'm trying to get things published, and she's working so hard and out there beating the bushes for me, and I'm hoping that it'll be very positive for both of us. Bless her heart. Yes, I'm glad she called.
Now, if there's anyone else out there who would like to give us a call, this is a call-in show. I'll give you the number right now. It's 888-228-4494. That's toll-free. 888-228-4494. We'd love to hear from you. So, I'm sorry about interrupting you, Stan, because...
That's okay. I'm glad we did that, But anyway, so we're just getting through the exciting part of the story. Well, anyway, so there I am, surrounded by deer, frozen in fear, hard to even move. There's no way I could run because the snow was so thick. And they were looking at me and kind of walking on by, and this was so strange, Preston. I'll never forget this my whole life. Two of the smaller females started to move toward me. And when that happens, you kind of instinctively reach out to kind of push them away, you know?
Right.
And when I pushed my hand out, just like your vision about the buffalo, this one particular little doe pressed against my hand.
Wow.
And she turned her neck toward me, and before I realized it, I was kind of stroking her neck. And for some reason, I always thought that deer hair was like silky, you know? But I, even through my glove, I could feel kind of the roughness of it. And
Wow. It
was just a brief moment. And then that group of doe kind of continued their journey off away from me. And then, you know, after you're in a fearful situation, you kind of tremble and the fear subsides and you feel a sense of relief. And that deer aroma lingered around me and was on my glove. And I tried to try to think, what in the world happened to me? Maybe, you know, was I dreaming? And I looked around, and of course there were plenty of holes and spaces and stuff in the snow, so that proved to be true. And you know what? I never hunted after that.
Oh, wow.
I just didn't feel it was right.
Wow.
And after that experience, I've always had a special affinity toward what natives call deer people. Now, when we grew up, you know, we lived off the land quite a bit, and venison was one of the few meats that we had on our table. I couldn't eat it. I didn't care for a buffalo, but I could swallow it, you know, if we had ketchup and mustard. And we'd get an antelope every now and then, and that's kind of like a goat. And I could tolerate that, but I could not stand even the smell of cooked deer meat. And my family used to kid me, of course, saying I was a vegetarian. and it put it on my plate, and I felt like I was a cannibal if I tried to eat it. And so one of the indicators that I realize now is that your personal dietary preference might be an indicator of what your totem might be. If you're potentially a member of a particular family of animals, including the buffalo, it would feel wrong to eat one of your own relations.
Right.
To this day, I enjoy the deer fragrance and feel a sense of love and admiration when I see them out in the wild. We have a lot of them around here. If I'm driving along and I see one, I roll the window down and I whistle at it, and it stops and looks at me. And I send in my mind a friendly message of good fortune. And this was so interesting. This kind of tied it together. There's a Jesuit university here in town, and one of the Catholic sisters taught a class on spirituality, and she had me come in and talk about Native American spirituality. And she gave me a wrist rattle made of deer hooves. She didn't know why, but she knew it was for me, even though she'd carried it for many, many years and received it as a gift when she was doing missionary work in Mexico. And so once your totem has been determined, you will be amazed by the way you two will relate to each other.
Wow.
It's grown stronger through the years, Preston. It's just absolutely amazing.
It is. It's astonishing.
You can see that. It's kind of emotional to me because it's kind of like the best friend you'll ever have.
Wow.
So, catching my breath here. Then we'll get back to work here. All right.
Yeah, it's a very profound subject.
So
oh, great.
Doing okay on time and moving along all right?
Yeah, we're doing fine. We're about halfway through, so this is actually a good time to let everyone know again who we're speaking with and what we're talking about. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight we're speaking with Native American Stan Hughes, who is talking about animal totems. He has done a lot of research into this area, interviewed a lot of people, had some very amazing experiences, some of which we've just heard. So that's what we're talking about. And again, if you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. I'll give you the number again right now. It's 888-228-4494.
Great. Well, now it's time to put your listeners to work, brother. And so we're going to say now, how can you find your totem? Now, let me kind of put a parameter around this. Being in North America, of course, I'm more hooked into some of the common totems that are acknowledged around here by the Native Americans and the Canadian First Nations. I want to make it clear, though, that this sampling does not apply to these other only totems around. Many large North American mammals, like polar bears, seals and sea lions, moose, wild boar, etc., serve as totems to the fortunate two-leggers who are blessed to have them. And, you know, you go around the world and totems can be lions, tigers, sharks, you know, you name it. But just my experiences and my geographical upbringing had me work in the particular areas. And so I've identified a few totems, and the badger and the bear and the beaver and the bobcat. And, of course, the buffalo, as you mentioned, the cougar, coyote, deer, and dolphins, and porpoises, eagles, elk, fox. These are just some that I've worked with. The Canadian goose, I love that one. Hummingbirds, of all things, are just marvelous, and they can be totems. Mountain goats.
Wow.
Owls, we talked about owls already. Ravens and crows, we call those quaggocks, those big black birds. Even the snake, deer totem, turtles, whales, wolves, and so on. Okay, now, if we've got our little piece of paper ready, I would ask our listeners to do this for me. Let's make three columns, and let's put an E at the top of one column. Let's put a D at the top of the other column, and a W on top of the third column. I'm going to list five indicators for each column, and I would like your listeners to rate those something like this. If that particular indicator really seems to be you, give it a three. So it would be 3 points if you say, boy, that's me. or give the three. Then I'll read the mixed indicator, and we'll make a call on the numbers. If it's, you know, kind of like you, pretty much like you, give it a 2. And if it's, well, maybe a little like me, give it a 1. Or if it has nothing to do with you at all, just put a 0 in there. Okay?
Okay.
So let's do our decon first. I'm going to read the first indicator. When I get some vacation time, I seem to gravitate to the ocean rather than the forest or mountains. If that's you, a lot for the 3, and 0 to mean 2. So then, all right. Now, in that same column, the mixed one, now the mixed indicator, I have had dreams or visions about dolphins, or have had some unusual yet real experiences with or around them. If that's much like you, give yourself a 3. If it's pretty much like you, give a 2. If it's a little bit like you, a 1. If it's not like you at all, just put 0 in there. So we're working away here. Next indicator. This would be under the first 2 we've listed. I enjoy wearing jewelry or accessories with a fish theme, or have a tattoo of a dolphin, or would like to have one. So, again, if that sounds like you a lot, give yourself a 3. And so rate that indicator. Next one. It is especially pleasant for me to be around an aquarium. I find them beautiful and relaxing. I have one in my home, or I wish I did. Again, 3, 2, 1, 0. And the last indicator for the column under the D. I love to swim and participate in water activities. People might describe me as a land creature living away from my most natural environment. So give yourself a 3, 2, 1, or 0 on that. Now, if you will, add those up and give yourself a total number, and we'll just keep that handy. Okay?
Okay.
I suppose if the highest it could be would be a 15, because then that means you'd have a 3 in every one. All right. Now, let's go to the column with the E on the top. Same thing. Okay, first indicator. When I hear an eagle call or see it soaring on an updraft, it stirs my heart and soul. I wish I were flying with it. If that's you all the way, give yourself a 3. Kind of 2, a little bit 1. If I'm not interested in that at all, put a 0 there, okay? Now under that, I have eagle pictures on the walls of my home and eagle figurines on my shelves and bookcases. I enjoy wearing eagle-themed jewelry, accessories, or clothing. Not necessarily Harley Davidson stuff. So give yourself, again, 3, 2, 1, 0 for that indicator. This is the column we'll call it E. I'm confident that eagles and I are some kind of kindred spirits. On occasion, I have had what might be considered bird dreams. In most cases, the birds are eagles or some other large raptor. If that sounds like you all the way, give yourself a 3, or 2, 1, or 0. And then the last, then the next indicator. I'm willing to travel long distances to see bald eagles in the wild. It thrills me to watch them catch fish and care for the young. And then again, 3, 2, 1, 0. And then last one. I've had, now this is really unusual, but I think it's really, really important. And Preston, this is one of your specialties. I have had an out-of-body experience, also called soul travel. Despite this strange event, I was not afraid and felt there was a companion with me. Now that's probably not too many people will give themselves a 3 on that one, I'd imagine. Now, if you will, add those up and give and total that score up and write it under that column. And then
Okay. The
last one under our column for W. And I think you're starting to get the picture. First indicator, I have pictures of wolves on the walls of my home. I love their mysterious and independent life ways. That's you all the way. Give yourself a 3, or 2, or 1, or I don't care about wolves, put a 0 there. Okay, next indicator. And this is really tight. I love dogs, and they seem to take to me. I think humans and canines were ancient brothers or pack members in another time and place. So give yourself a 3. Oh, that guy's talking about me all the way. Oh, it's 1 or 0. Okay, next indicator in this column under the W. Strangely, I occasionally had dreams or visions where large canine creatures have wandered in and out of my consciousness. Yet it is never a frightening experience. I feel like I'm a member of the pack. So again, rate yourself on that one. Next indicator. and this, probably a lot of us are this way, I cannot understand why the U.S. Department of Interior encourages wolf eradication. And this is true, according to Robert Redford. There are no documented cases of humans being killed by wolves.
Wow.
And then the last indicator of the RW column. I've heard wolves howling, either live or in the movies or on TV. I find that sound exciting and very soul-stirring to me. Okay. So if you will, add those up and see what kind of a number you get. Okay. Now we've got three columns with a number at the bottom of each column. The highest number will imply that there's a tendency that your totem or spirit animal is, if not that particular creature, in that particular family. And so let's just see what we're talking about. In the D column, if you had a high number compared to the other two, that would be, the totem would be the dolphin and the porpoise. And here's what that's all about. That is a splendid totem in every way possible. Many feel that the dolphin has a special relationship with humans, manifested by love and concern for our well-being. They truly are our relations. There are countless stories of dolphins coming to the rescue of humans in distress, and this also occurs in the spirit world. This also occurs in the spirit world.
Wow.
Your dolphin totem is always with you, offering companionship, good power, good luck, protection, and guidance. So if you had a pretty high number on dolphins, you have a marvelous, marvelous totem. Okay, in our little E column, of course, you've kind of figured that out. That would be the eagle. Universally, and that's by all tribes, bands, nations, in Canada, United States, and probably all around, it's considered the most desirable of all the totems. Eagle
really?
Totems represent protection, wealth, wisdom, foresight, see what I mean? Strength and spirituality, all qualities of great value to human beings. If you are praying or meditating and a spirit eagle comes to you, that guarantees the prayer has reached the Creator. If you are striving to achieve the level of consciousness that allows for out-of-body travel, that's astral projection or soul travel, eagle totem will encourage you in this endeavor and will be your flying companion once you are able to travel.
Wow.
So that's a dandy one, too. And then the W, of course, I think you got it figured out now. That's the wolf. It's an amazing totem. It's considered wise, cunning, and intelligent. Undoubtedly the strongest of all canines. A wolf totem is a great friend to have in the face of adversity. Let me run you by again. A wolf totem is a great friend to have in the face of adversity. Wolves and two-leggeds have had a special mysterious bond of brotherhood since the beginning of time, and they could never understand why Euro-Americans endeavored to wipe them out on the North American continent. The wolves just could not understand that. If you are blessed to have him as your totem, you can rely on his protection and courage. You can walk without fear in the corporal or mystical world, knowing that the most powerful totem is at your side.
Wow.
Which is great.
Oh, this is fantastic. And,
so, I hope your listeners got a chance to look at that and see, by golly, this looks good to me. Or, you know, I'd say, well, none of that appealed to me. So we've got plenty more to talk about, but, you know, that was just a sampling of the project that I put together.
That's very exciting. I scored highest on the eagle totem, actually, which is pretty exciting for me.
I totally believe that, Preston. And, you know, I've read your book, and I've enjoyed it, and I just knew that you had help along that way, and I knew it had to be an eagle or a hawk or a kestrel or some sort of flyer, and I think that's just absolutely terrific. I'm so happy for you to do that.
Oh, and I had one really profound experience once with a red-tailed hawk. I was very, very upset.
Tell us about that. Do you mind? I'd like to hear that.
No, it's an amazing story. I've told it many times just because it's just so, oh, God, I don't even know the words, profound, I guess. But for me it was. I was very upset. I had been hurt by somebody pretty badly, let down, I guess. They disappointed me, and I was really upset. I was just really, really upset, and out on my balcony. And now, mind you, I live in the San Fernando Valley, which is pretty densely populated. There's not a whole lot of wildlife.
I've been to your place.
So you know, it's pretty much the city.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I was on my balcony.
I'm surprised there's anything alive around there besides people.
I like to go on my balcony because at least there's a couple of trees out back, you know, mostly cement.
You just see the trees.
But I was just upset, more upset than I probably should have been, but for whatever reason, it had upset me pretty badly, and I was kind of just crying out to the spirit world for answers. I mean, how could this happen? You know, that sort of thing. When suddenly, a red-tailed hawk came swooping down out of the sky and landed right next to me on the balcony. This is about maybe 2 feet away. I've never
How
been.
How did you react to that? I think my first thought would be frightened.
I instantly knew what it was, that it was in response to me, that it was a very, very spiritual event. And as soon as I saw it, all my feelings of disappointment, all the negative feelings drained right out of me in a second. I was covered with chills, and I just felt the most intense feeling of love and belonging to the universe and indescribable feelings, really, of just deep spirituality and belongingness, and that I was being guided, I guess might be another word. But it was so beautiful, Stan, and looked at me, and I didn't actually see it fall out of the sky. It was like almost like it was just suddenly there.
Well, for crying out loud.
I didn't see how it actually got there so quickly, and it was very, very large. You know, this is over a foot tall. I mean, 2 feet tall, maybe even a little more. And just the most beautiful creature. And after, you know, gosh, I'm trying to think what happened, how it left, but I can't seem to remember how it left. It must have just...
The important thing, though, is you remembered that it happened and the feelings that you had.
It affected me for so long. I was so humbled. I was so humbled.
It's
just a wonderful experience.
Right. And I cannot tell you how much I wish each of your listeners could share a personal experience like that sometime in their life. And that just reinforces that Native American traditional belief that they are there for us. And we can't see them. Sometimes we don't even care about it. But they are there, and they're trying to reach us and touch us and love us, and they do it in the spirit world, and they also have the power to do it in the corporal world.
I totally believe. Yeah. You know, I had another experience. You know, I have this thing with wolves too, and I draw them. And you know, once I was out of body, I was having an out of body experience. As my listeners know, I've done a lot of research and had a lot of experiences with this out of body travel. And I read that a lot of people who do this have spirit guides that, you know, guide them. And in most of my experiences, I feel like I'm alone, even though I'm pretty sure I'm not.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I finally decided, I shouted out, you know, I heard that if you look behind you, you'll see your spirit guide. And so what I did was I was flying around, and I suddenly remembered I wanted to meet my spirit guide. And I turned around really fast, expecting to see a person. And that's not what I saw. I saw a coyote.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And he darted away very quickly and had this kind of trickster air about him.
that's coyote.
And I've seen him a couple of times. You know, same type of thing. I'll look behind me when I'm out of body, and there he is. And I get a Native American, you know, energy from him. But it's a coyote. So, I don't know.
Well,
there you go.
Let's just look at the coyote as a totem. And just like you said, he's kind of like a conundrum. He's full of magic, special powers, and teachings. And the two-legged, you, who has coyote as his spirit ally, is especially blessed because he or she can learn about the meaning of life and grow spirituality. That person can also discern, and this is kind of interesting, when another is being straightforward or speaking, like the Indians say, with forked tongues. That's power of discernment. Now, spirit coyote is also a trickster. So this omen requires careful study and can change from time to time, person to person, and from situation to situation. So got to work with that guy to see what he's up to and how he fits into your spirit life. But it's a good one. Coyote,
wow.
A lot of the Native American stories, their creation stories, have to do with coyote bringing things to the people, fire and what have you, so they can survive and grow. And so coyote is a direct, according to traditional Native Americans, a direct link with the Creator. So that's a pretty important job.
This might be kind of this might be a kind of off the wall question, but you know, like, what about Bigfoot? Would that be considered an animal totem? Or
I don't discount anything, but I'll tell you, I honestly can say, I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years. Nobody has ever said that they think Bigfoot is their totem. But you know, why not, for crying out loud? And I don't have any idea what Bigfoot as a totem would represent.
Well, they're two-legged, so maybe they're intelligent.
He's so elusive, you know, and stays away from people. Maybe he just doesn't want to be anybody's totem. I believe in Bigfoot. I have not had personal experiences, but my brother has, and my nephew. And so, you know, and I believe them when they say those things up in the Northern California, those high hills up there toward the Oregon border. So, you know, I don't have any doubt at all that Bigfoot is there and probably spread all over the continent in some way or another. But I honestly can't say that I've ever heard anybody say that was their totem. So what qualities he would bring with him.
Right.
So, well, all right. So here I'm saying that our totem or spirit animal is trying to get in touch with us. And so here's what I believe. That they really are trying to reach out. And they do this all the time. But when you are not wrapped up with all the trials and tribulations of the daily activities, and when we are most receptive to their overtures of kinship, I think they're always at our side, and I think they're totally tireless, and they're continuing living in hope that that you two will develop some kind of familiar bonding with each other. And they come to you in visions and dreams, and they also, and I believe this more than I can tell you, that they gently affect our preferences and guide our choices.
That's what I find really fascinating.
When we're in some altered state, you know, and we might not even remember that.
Exactly. That's what I think is. That's what I find particularly fascinating about your work, is that a lot of people are having these amazing experiences with animals and don't even realize, you know, what is going on there, and that they have this amazing relationship.
That's right on. And I believe that they communicate with corporeal creatures, you know, through dogs and cats and so on, using that as a link between them. Now, let me tell you something interesting happened to me that kind of reinforced it. Traditional Native medicine people, I think, can see our spirit allies. And they may choose or not choose to let us know what they see. And I had an interesting experience. I was asked to talk with the entire student body of the high school on the Spokane Indian Reservation, and trying to get them to continue their education and to stay clean of alcohol and drugs. I had what I called a feather bundle, and there were different kind of feathers on there. There was and each one had a different meaning to it. There was a little flicker bird, a lawn's feather, and that was for joy. There was a raven feather, and that was for wisdom. And there was an eagle feather, and that was for strength. Are you following me? There was a big Canadian goose feather at the bottom, praying that these kids would always be able to find their way home, no matter whatever happened to them.
Wow.
Well, the medicine man was there. Picture this, I'm out on the gym floor. The kids are all in the bleachers looking at me. I'm there all by myself with a microphone. There's a little wall behind the bleachers, and then a raised area and a railing, and up there is the cafeteria. And all the adults, the teachers and parents and so on, were standing there all looking down at me. After I gave my presentation, they had a little honor meal for me. And the medicine man came over and said he saw two large spirit birds, a raven and a hawk, drop out of the heavens and land on my shoulders when I was using my feather bundle. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. But he saw that, and he felt that I needed to hear that. So the most amazing way you realize your spirit animal has bonded with you is when this realization comes. And there's no explainable reason for that, but all of a sudden, you know you are a member of the family.
Wow.
And then that being alone and forgotten just melts away from you. And you felt that when that red-tailed hawk came, that feeling of despair, it just melts away, and they take it away, and there you are, a member of the family, and that'll be with you as long as you live. And I can't think of a better gift than that.
Oh, so, you know, I often draw strength from that brief moment. It was just a brief experience, really, of 30 seconds, but I draw strength from that daily. So I totally believe what you're saying.
Totally believe that you got one of the most amazing blessings, Preston, and we can stand envious of you that you were able to have that, you know, because it's a life changer. Now, I'm kind of running out of time here, but now I've got the hard part to talk about. And I don't know if you want to take a station break or catch your breath or we'll get into it. It's entirely up to you, Preston.
And notice we've only got like 5 minutes left, so let's get into it.
We need to get into this last part. Okay, now listen to me, folks. Each of us has a responsibility concerning finding our totem, and it's not easy. In other words, we've got to walk the walk to totem realization. That totem-human bond's a two-way street. The animal spirit reaches for his special child, but that person must also stretch out his or her hand. And like so many Native American spiritual quests, the seeker needs to prepare. So how do we prepare? Okay, we got to get into a receptive frame of mind. And I say, you got to believe that this is actually for real. If you don't believe in totems or spirit animals, you know, you're not in a receptive frame of mind. Even, and of course, they're still trying to talk to you. So you get into a receptive frame of mind, and you need to expect something wonderful to happen. Expect a miracle. Now, you have to cleanse yourself from the effects of drugs and alcohol. And that's through the abstinence of that and the cleansing with a lot of fresh water. And let your body flush the residue and impurities that are collected, you know, down the drain. Sweat lodges or saunas, this is great. That will help you clean your body. If you have traditional Native American friend, you know, ask them to smudge you. That's where they take the smoke from the cedar and kind of bathe you in the smoke. Then it's time to start trying to find that internal peace through meditation or prayer. And plead to the Great Spirit to be forgiven for your sins and iniquities. And this always is interesting to me. There's things that you have done that are not right, but there are things you have not done that should have been right. And so you have to pray to be forgiven for your actions and also your inactions.
Wow.
And the Northern California tribes call that pagasoy. And you you say, please forgive me, Creator. I'm just a human being, and I want to be better. We know,
wow.
And this is the hardest for me of all, is that trying to clear the tapes in my mind. That all of us has that constant chatter that flows through our minds.
Right.
And there's so much going on in our lives, and so many issues and problems and concerns and so on, that it just overwhelms, and I have trouble with this too, you know, and I've tried to work on myself for 20 years, and still when I get into that quiet meditative state, all of a sudden starts crawling and these concerns about my children or so on and so forth. And you have to clear that, and I know you're really good at this, Preston, because there's a still, small voice that says, come home. So that's our responsibility.
Wow, amazing.
It's not an easy walk, but I'll tell you, if you're willing to go for it and to try, the answer, it's life-changing. And here's what I'd like to do. If some of your listeners are really interested in this and want to hear more about it or talk to me, you know, email, I want to give them my email address, and I will answer every email sent to me. And so here it is. I'll give you a minute to get your pencil out from doing your worksheet. It's Hughes, capital H-U-G-H-E-S, 6060, so that's all one clump, Hughes, 6060, at AOL.com. And you just say, Stan, I heard your program, I want to know more, and just let me go from there, and we'll keep in touch with each other. So I'm opening my email to your listeners if they really would like to know more about this, and be glad to personally communicate, and maybe we can help each other. What do you think?
Awesome.
That work for you?
Well, you know what, Stan? Our time is up. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know, there's so much to talk about.
I got a whole other topic to talk about.
Well, I'll have to have you on again, definitely.
Maybe you're right.
But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing some of this amazing wisdom and some of your own personal stories and just getting this subject out, which I think is really, really important, and it's going to help people become spiritually enlightened, I'm sure of it. So thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure always. It's just great to visit with you. I know I think you're the greatest guy of all times. And I'd love to be your friend. I mean that.
Oh, thanks. I'm honored. Believe me, I'm deeply honored, and I feel the same way about you. All right. Well, everyone, that's our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Stan Hughes. He's been talking about animal totems, their mystery and their power, and how you can identify your own animal totem. And if you'd like to get in touch with Stan, I'll give his email out one more time. So grab your pen. His email is hughes6060@aol.com. That's capital H, smaller case U-G-H-E-S, 6060@aol.com. Hughes6060@aol.com. Drop him an email. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have about any experiences you might have had with animal totems or how to identify your own, or just a chat. But thank you all for listening. I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye.